So from 87 to 2005, you were the pastor at Calvary. What were some of your most memorable experiences while being pastor there?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure. Obviously, teaching every week to the same people was a highlight. Meeting with people one-on-one was a highlight. Doing weddings and funerals were a highlight. Actually, everything was a highlight.
Oh, that's great. So you developed a real bond with the folks there.
Yes.
Like family, almost.
Oh, yeah, very much like family. And I think all the Dutch people in the church liked me because I was an immigrant like many of them.
So there was commonality in that respect.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I understand you were kind of a mentor to Rob Bell while you were there.
Yeah, Rob grew up in the church and ended up working for me or with me for 3.5 years.
And what was he like in his early days as pastor?
Wonderful guy, hard worker, diligent, studied, met with people, just a hard worker.
Now, you were talking about some of the stuff that Jerry Falwell shared with you as far as advice, listening. What did you share with Rob to help him on his path?
Only two things. Love people and teach the Bible, period. That's it.
Now, are you guys still in touch, still close?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. Now, in 2001, you were diagnosed with ALS, is what many people know as Lou Gehrig's disease. What type of symptoms were you experiencing that made you know that you needed to go to the doctor to have that checked out?
I was having twitches in my muscles, and my hand felt weak.
Okay.
And I was opening jars or backpacking. And those were the symptoms that ultimately led me to the doctor.
And how long were you experiencing those before you went to the doctor?
Probably 9 months to a year.
Okay, and you kind of just thought nothing of it, just kind of came and went?
Yeah, my wife kept saying, you need to go to the doctor.
Okay.
But being typically male, I ignored her.
And when you say in the muscles, is it like a specific area where that normally shows up first, in the arms or the legs?
It was in my back and arms.
Okay. So is that like a typical signal that someone should get such a thing checked out?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Now, once the diagnosis was made, what were the coming months like for you?
Well, the best way to describe it was sinking into darkness.
Okay.
I thought if I knew I was dying, I would really read the Bible. I could hardly open the Bible.
Okay.
I thought if I knew I was dying, I would really pray. I couldn't hardly pray at all. Sinking in darkness is the best way to describe it.
So what began to pull you out of that darkness?
I was sitting on the porch about a month after I was diagnosed. It was snowing, and I picked up the Bible and read the words of Moses, who said, I set before you life and death. And I realized I was in a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
I could choose to live, or I could choose to give up and die. And I remember telling God, I want to live. And that was a significant turning point.
And all the while you had kept this to yourself as far as not telling the folks at the church, is that correct?
I kept it within the family for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then we announced it to the church.
Okay. So at any time, did it cause you to question your faith at all, or did it cause you to have a deeper commitment to it?
Initially, I never lost my faith.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered what God was up to.
What the plan was.
Yeah, and I've since concluded God had nothing to do with my ALS.
Okay.
He'll help me through it,
mm-hmm.
but had nothing to do with it.
And then in 2005, you made the decision to step down. What was the immediate period of time that followed after that like for you?
Well, I felt lost. My cell phone rang constantly,
mm-hmm.
and I often thought I'd take it down the Grand River and throw it over a bridge. And the first day after I retired, it never rang one time. And I called my wife to have her call me to make sure it was working.
Sure.
And it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was the feeling nobody needs me anymore.
So a loss of identity.
Yeah. Yeah, who am I?
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel that you needed to do to rediscover your identity or reinvent your identity at that point?
Well, one of the things I did is I spent a year trying to live like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And during that year, the limitations seemed insignificant in comparison to trying to live like Jesus.
And what made you decide you wanted to go down that road and give that a shot?
I read A.J. Jacobs' book,
mm-hmm.
The Year of Living Biblically, mm-hmm. I think it's called. And I laughed my way through the book.
Okay.
And I thought, I ought to do something similar. And so I set out trying to live like Jesus.
And what exactly does it mean to live like Jesus in the modern world that we live in today?
Well, I'm not sure. I tried to live Jewishly.
Okay.
So I went to the synagogue, ate kosher, kept the Sabbath. I listened to all four Gospels mm-hmm. every week. And then I tried to obey Jesus' teaching mm-hmm. as literally as possible.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm not Jewish. But I gave it a try.
So what were some of the most memorable experiences and challenges of that year for you of living like Jesus?
Well, the whole Jewish thing. At the end of the year, the rabbi who helped me asked me, well, you've lived Jewishly for a year. What mm-hmm. do you think? I said, it's a pain in the neck. And he laughed and said, we Jews have been saying that for thousands of years. that was a challenge. Listening to the Gospels was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
There were moments where I felt I was standing on the edge of the crowd listening to Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm. And what other things did you do while living a year like Jesus?
I went to the bar,
mm-hmm.
hung out with, quote, sinners,
mm-hmm.
being a sinner myself. Lots of things like that I tried to do.
So the people that you ran into in the bars, did you know them, or you just went up with them and just chatted with them?
Some I knew, some I didn't.
Okay.
And I found out people at the bar are really interested in Jesus, but they're not interested in the church.
Why is that?
I'm not sure why. Maybe they got burned by the church.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they lived next door to a hypocritical Christian. I don't know. But they are interested in the real Jesus.
So what were some of the things that you talked to with the folks who you didn't know before going into those bars?
Listening to their story,
mm-hmm.
Primarily. And then eventually they'd ask me about my long beard. And I told them I was trying to live like Jesus. And they would ask, well, what's that like?
Sure. And were there any specific themes or threads that ran through all these people that you spoke with?
No.
No. Everybody was a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody brings their own baggage
sure.
to the bar.
Sure. In the beard, since you brought that up, how long did it take you to grow it that long?
I began January, and at the end of December, it was halfway down my chest.
Okay.